Going to talk a little bit about the Sefer HaBoyer and a little bit its place within the development and the revealing of Kabbalah, Sodei HaTorah, the inner secrets of the Torah. So there's a conversation that we don't want to have is about the authorship, exactly when the HaBoyer was. Who wrote the Sefer HaBoyer? Is it a collection of writers? Is it going back to the times of the Goyim, to Rav Chaim Ben Arkanya? I don't know what exactly it is. We'll talk about more about it in terms of its revelation, that the Sefer HaBoyer reveals itself in the late 1100s, 1190s, seemingly coming out of Provence, France, at least related to some parts of it. And it's a very important mystical, Kabbalistic text, because it's sort of an in-between, a bridge between the Sefer Yetzirah and the revealing of the Sefer HaZohar. So Sefer Yetzirah, we know, which is loosely translated the Book of Formation, Book of Creation, is a text that's already mentioned, perhaps mentioned in the Gemara a few times, where it talks about Rava Bar Gavra, like Eloi Tisoi, certain types of creative stories that's connected with Sefer Yetzirah. But Sefer Yetzirah is a text that was known certainly in the times of the Goyim. In the times of the Goyim, Sefer Yetzirah was very much known. And in fact, Rav Sadia Gaon himself wrote a commentary to Sefer Yetzirah. And the Zohar, which was in the late 1200s, becomes the Torah Shebiksav, almost like the written Torah of the revealing of the Sodei HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. And the Sefer HaBoyer itself seems to be like a bridge between these two ideas. What this means is like this, and from the Sefer HaBoyer forward, there's an explosion of Kabbalistic ideas in the world. The Sefer Yetzirah itself, it's possible to read the Sefer Yetzirah not so much as a book of Kabbalah, which is like teaching us like the inner secrets of like the metaphysical secrets of creation, but it's almost possible to read it maybe as some type of scientific manual, almost like these are the technical ways of creation. And people like Rav Sadia Gaon, who are not necessarily Mukabbalim in the classic definition of Mukabbalim, not like Rav Igon or Shim Gaon, read it that way. And when it talks about, so when let's about Sfas or Ois, the letters, or the where it ties the letters, the 22 letters, and it combines them with the zodiac and with the months of the year and the three primary letters, etc. And when it talks about the spheres, it seems almost like a very abstract, not embodied idea. Sort of like these are the constructs of creation. And later on in the Zohar, the spheres become like animated things. They actually become fully fleshed out ideas. Like the spheres are not just an abstraction. The spheres is not just the way that Hashem interacts with the world, the infinite interacts with the world, but they have qualities. They have, you know, it's chesed, and it's kindness, and it's compassion, and it's colored, and it's textured, obviously not in a literal way. And the Sefer HaBoyer is sort of this bridge where, in contrast to Sefer Yetzirah and leaning already towards Sefer HaZohar, where in Sefer Yetzirah and Sefer HaBoyer, you have a lot of the way the Sefer HaBoyer is written a lot in parables, in metaphors, in dialogue, in conversation. So it's written that way in contrast to Sefer Yetzirah, which is a very much more dry technical text. I'm much more leaning towards the Sefer HaZohar, which is much more enriched textual text. But from when the Sefer HaBoyer is published or written, it becomes a primary text by the Ramban, Nachmanides. And when the Ramban writes V'zeh Osoid, and he talks about in his commentaries, for example, in the Chumash, where he speaks about the secrets, a lot of times the secret that the Ramban is revealing is coming from the Sefer HaBoyer. The Ramban sometimes quotes and sometimes doesn't. Sometimes it's called Medrash of Rav Chaim Ben Arkanya. It's called the Medrash of Rav Chaim Ben Arkanya because That's how Sefer HaBorah begins with Rabbi Kuhn Rekana. So it's he calls it that way. And then is the Talmidei HaRamban, the students of the Ramban, let's say, for example, Shemtim Ibn Goyen and the Kesa Shemtiv, or Menachem Merkanti, or Yitzhak Dimin Aku, or Rabbeinu B'chaya, Menachem Tzioini, all the great Kabbalists that lived in that age, whether they were direct descendants of Talmidim from Ramban, whether they learned with him actually in the academy, or they learned his teachings, they all reveal the teachings of the Ramban, and a primary source of the teachings of the Ramban is found in Sefer Yetzirah. Because remember that Sefer HaZoher, the book of the Zohar, was not yet revealed. And so the Ramban doesn't quote the Zohar the way we know it. So this is in terms of what happened in this period of time, and that's when we see the beginning of the true revealing of Seudas HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. Even before the Zohar was published, is began with the Ramban and all the students of the Ramban. So Ramban receives this tradition from Yitzchak Sadik Saginor, which is a son of the Ravid, also from Provence. And somehow he gives over these teachings, and it becomes a very popular. Kabbalah becomes the Seudas HaTorah become a very popular genre, and people are dealing with this. When we talk about the Sefer HaZoher, in contrast, and to talk about the Sefer HaBorah, we have to understand that the revealing of these texts is part of the original revealing of Matan Torah. So when it talks about Matan Torah, that Matan Torah is called Godel Lo Yosef, that there was a great sound and did not end. So we say that Lo Yosef means that it was Lo Posek. This is the sound, that there's a continuous revelation. And this continuous revelation continues throughout history. What is the revelation? So the revelation is to reveal the oneness of Hashem in this world, the Gilah Achdus Hashem, the revealing of the oneness of Hashem. And the revealing that it continues throughout the ages, and there's certain paradigm shifts, certain times in history where these things burst through into the world and creates a new conversation, is precisely what happens with the Sefer HaBorah, because that's the beginning of what we see, what we call, people can call classic Kabbalah, a tremendous amount of writings that comes from the students of Ramban, of that idea, of these ideas. And this is not only because it's a revelation that's continuous from Matan Torah, from the past, but there's also an idea that it's history being pulled from the future. Because in time, when we look at the process of time can be linear from the past into the future, and therefore the present is an impregnation from the past, and it's an effect of the past. But also time could also be seen as moving from the future, being pulled by the future, like zman, meaning the word hazmana, like an invitation, being pulled to something in the future. So in the future, we say, there's an idea of a molar, there's Hashem, that there'll be the oneness of Hashem. Will be the oneness of Hashem revealed in this world. So this continuous revelation of the oneness of Hashem, and this revelation first becomes revealed in Klal Yisrael, in Knesset Yisrael, in the people of Israel, which is the Goy Echad Ba'aretz, the idea of the oneness in creation, the one, not Goyim in plural, but the Goy Echad Ba'aretz. This is the idea of, and this is the tachlis, the intention and the purpose of this Goy Echad Ba'aretz, this one people, is to bring into this world the oneness of Hashem. And the oneness of Hashem is continuously being revealed deeper and deeper and deeper as every generation gets closer to the ultimate revealing of the oneness of Hashem. And the oneness of Hashem is revealed, and we'll see soon how it works in the Sefer HaBorah, is that it reveals itself in terms of creating a synthesis of what we think of opposites. So the more we can create, the more that is created on a conceptual, revealed, revelational level of Torah, of the Seudas HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah, that's revealing the Achdus Hashem on a super spiritual level, eventually that trickles down and has an effect on everything, on the entire consciousness of the cosmos, that everything is moving towards that place of unity. So it has a trickle effect, that it has a ripple effect, that it changes the science of the generation, the philosophy of the generation, the psychology of the generation, the politics, the geopolitics, everything in the world starts shifting. So there's like a sort of a change that happens on a spiritual high dimensional level, which is revealed in the Torah that's being revealed in that generation. And it's deeper. So every generation every generation as we're getting closer to the Messianic time is a deeper revealing of this Achdus Hashem, this Oneness Hashem. You're asking if I can get more connections? I don't know. Try to move in a little bit, okay. That there's a revealing of this Achdus Hashem, and this Oneness Hashem continuously becomes revealed. And this is the revelation. So the revelations of the Ramban, and these great shifts that happen in the world happens with the Ramban. And the Ramban is influenced through the Sefer HaBarer, and then it eventually happens with the Arizal, and then it happens with Baal Shem Tov. These are these continuous revelations of the Oneness of Hashem. The Sefer HaBarer itself, so there before the Sefer HaBarer, there was the Hechalas, which was a particular type of form that was of practice. It goes back to certainly to the time of the Tanoim and the later the Maroim, the Goinim. And there's the Shir Koima, which is more to study the body of God, Kaviyachal. And the Boyer falls more into a place where it sits as, like we said before, it sits as a bridge between the Sefer Yetzirah, and then eventually the full formation of this idea in desire itself. So as opposed to being just an abstract with very little poetic and imaginary ideas, and even though it does speak about Isis and does talk about spheres, all these things, but in a very not full way, the Sefer HaBarer takes these things that it's really a medrash. That's why it's called a medrash in Chun Yerchana. But a medrash means that it fills it out. It has that poetic type of quality where it's there are stories and there are parables, and sometimes the parables are understandable, not understandable. There are statements, but the statements are not necessarily finished. There's unfinished statements. It feels like you're in the middle of saying something and it stops. The cyclical patterns the Sefer HaBarer talks about a lot, which regards to time. The time is not just linear, but it has cyclical nature. It feels like it has like a much more talks about reincarnation. This is the first time that we have a clear text, which we'll talk about in a second. We'll learn a little Sefer HaBarer, where it actually talks about the process of gugulim, of reincarnation of souls, that souls are reincarnated. So these are ideas that become revealed in the Sefer HaBarer, and I would say like the Zohar the Zohar is sort of like a full revealing of what the Sefer HaBarer is. A lot of the concepts that the Sefer HaBarer writes about and talks about in a few short words in the Sefer HaZohar, these things become much more revealed. So the concept that the project, if you want, of the entire revealing of the Seudas HaTorah, of the revealing of the Seudas, of the hidden aspects of the Torah, is to reveal the unity that's within creation. Ultimately, to reveal the unity in creation, not only on an abstract level and in a Torah level, but also to reveal the unity of Hashem in the physical level as well, that there's a transformation of an understanding that even the physical and the spiritual, the body and the soul, are all connected to the oneness and part of the oneness. So if you literally start with the first teaching, and this will go through a few of the teachings of the Sefer HaBarer and show you how this exactly works. I don't know if you have a Sefer HaBarer in front of you, but some of you do have it, or you can pick it up online. You can see like this, that in Sefer HaBarer, the first entry says like this, Amar B'chunim Ben HaKonar, B'chunim Ben HaKonar says, Kosev Echad Oymer Va'ata Loiro Oy Bo'er, who was fucking, the Kosev Oymer Yashav Chayis HaSisri, And one time, once it says that in the heavens there is only light, and another verse says that in the heavens, in the above, there's only darkness. So Yashav Choshech Sisra, that the place Hashem sits is in a place of darkness. Or there was such intense light, you can't even see that light. So is the place of the heavens, this is just a question of a verse, but it's really a question of, like, what is the makar? What is the source? Is the source a light, a revealing, or is the source an intense, so intense that it appears to us as darkness? And does it have a quality? Quality would be that it's a revealing, could be a quality of light, or it absolutely has no quality, it's absence of quality. So and here is very clear. What does the Sefer HaBor say? Yechriya b'neim, and then there's a third verse that comes and reconciles these two verses and says, Gam choshech lo yashlim lo b'layla ki yom yarek, sheikha ka'era, that it's darkness as light, which means what the Sefer HaBor is doing is saying, we have these two verses. We have a verse in the Torah that suggests that Hashem's, the source, Shemayim, which we'll see soon what Shemayim is. Shemayim is the place of light, and it's a pure light. We have also the source that we talk about, that Hashem is Yoshe Choshech Sisra, that the place of Hashem's presence is in the absolute darkness. And there's a reconciliation, which is a synthesis of these two ideas. It's a Kechashecha Ka'or, that is light as darkness. That the conceptions that we think about, how we think about things, that we think that light has a positive quality and darkness has a negative quality. Because that's our conception of things. Because when you see light, it seems that it's open and it's transparent and something is positive. Light seems like it's a positive quality. Darkness seems like it's the opposite. It's a negative quality. But those are qualities of definitions of the way we define them. But there's a shava mashva katan gadol. There's a place of transcendence where there is no distinctions between light and darkness. So when what's coming through to the Sefer HaBor is actually very similar to what the Zohar begins. The beginning of the Zohar, which which is that the Zohar actually talks that in this place of great darkness, the light emerges, which is some type of synthesis where you find light and darkness simultaneously existing, and then there's a bursting forth of a revealed light, which is a light that allows for the creation story. But in the higher perception beyond the creation story, that's what the Sefer Zohar is saying. There's a space where everything is one, everything is rooted in a place of unity, in a place of oneness. Then it comes into a place of multiplicity where we see duality, we see separations. And then we understand that in the world of separations, where we see in the world of duality, we see things as apparently opposite of each other. If we get a little bit deeper, we can recognize that in these the separation is really a connection, and so, that it's really rooted in something that's really unified in these two things. And that's a high teaching in terms of a conceptual teaching in terms of how it exists within Torah. Then we can take it actually in life and think about that things in our life where we see Chashecha Ka'or, we understand that Hashem's presence is with us in all these things. Of course, the Sefer HaBor is not saying that, but that opens up the conversation to understand some type of synthesis between light and darkness. If you have a Sefer HaBor in front of you, and go a little bit further on, this will be in Nuntes, in 59. So the Sefer HaBor, again, if you have this text in front of you, it'd be helpful, or you can check it online. 59, it says, My Shemayim, what is Shemayim? When we talk about heavens, what are we actually talking about? What is the heaven? Melamed shegibol HaKadosh Baruch Hu ei Shemayim v'tof chun zeh v'zeh. Okay, that this teaches us that Hashem gathered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the transcendent one, the infinite one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, took fire and water. And this is, by the way, this is already also sort of mentioned in the Gemara Chagiga, that took fire and water and joined them together. And this became Shemayim. Shemayim is Eish Mayim. So in the Shin stands for the Eish, and the Mayim, and the letters Mem Yud Mem is for Mayim. So Shemayim is Eish and Mayim. Eish represents fire, which is Gevura, the quality of restriction. And then Mayim is the quality of Chesed, of giving. And Shemayim is this unity between these two, between the Eish and the Mayim. Basma Roish L'dor V'ksiv Roish L'orcha Emes. And he created a Roish. This became the beginning, the revealing, the Roish, which some commentaries on the Sefer Bar would say this refers to the sphere of Tiferes, which becomes the source of the idea of Emes. That what is truth? We think of the idea of truth as an absolute singularity. The truth means this is the truth and there's no opposite. But the Sefer Bar is saying no, that truth is Eish Mayim Tiferes. That's what the truth is. The truth is a synthesis between fire, water, and Tiferes, which Tiferes is the unity between Chesed and Gevura. So truth arises not from a singularity. The Roish Tevarach Emes, the truth arises when there is a unity between a plurality, when there's a unity between what appears to be as opposites, when there's something that has the quality of Eish, of fire, and something that has the quality of a restriction of Gevura, and something has the quality of Chesed, of Mayim, and when there is a unity between these two, that is when there's the emergence of Emes, of truth. And then that's the Eishan Umayim. Amaleh Adkan Oysa Shalom Reimov, Masim Reim Shalom Ava. This is up until now, this is the way Hashem, Kaviyachol, the transcendent one, the infinite one, creates the unity within his domain. This is also Chazal say. Roim is Malach Gabriel, Malach Michal, the angels that are connected to Chesed and the angels that are connected to Gevura. The same thing also, Yitin Beinenu Shalom Ava. Hashem should give within us the idea of peace and love. So truth, peace, and love, these are very, very big words. And there's a lot to talk about in terms of these words. But what the Sefer Boyer is saying, what is truth, peace, and love? Truth, peace, and love is not a singularity. It's not from a one-dimensional idea that's being expressed. But truth arises from conflict, from contradiction, from opposites. And the emergence of the truth arises when there is some type of synthesis between these ideas, between a question and answer, and two different opinions, between an Eish and a Mayim, and then something, a truth emerges from that, and then you actually have true peace. Then you have Shalom. And peace, again, is not a singularity. Peace doesn't mean that you agree with me or I agree with you. Peace means that I have an opinion, I'm Eish, for example, and we come to certain consensus that despite the fact that we have different opinions, we can work together. That's the definition of Shalom. That's the definition of peace. The definition of peace is a combination of Chesed. That is Shemayim. Shemayim is the heavens. When we talk about the conception of what is like the ultimate, that the heaven, what is heaven? Heaven is truth, peace, and truth, peace, and love. And these truth, peace, and love, which are very big words, what the Sefer Boyer is saying is that all these things represent a unity of opposites. That not that it's a singularity, peace means my way and not your way. And love doesn't mean that I love you and I don't exist, or you love me and you don't exist. Love means that we both exist simultaneously and we choose to live together in love. So here again is an expression of the same construct where the Sefer Boyer is drawing down this idea of a synthesis, bringing down this idea of an achdus Hashem, an awareness of the unity of Hashem, saying that what is Shemayim? Shemayim is actually a unity. Going back to the original teaching, which we said that it's kachashecha ko'era, that ultimately there's some type of unity that holds all paradox and holds all opposites. That's the source of everything. It's manifest then into the world of paradox and separation. And for us to reach a point of truth and peace and harmony and love within society, within our world, we have to create a synthesis between these two things. It's telling us how we can understand our creation and how we find, in terms of our existence in this world, this idea of unity. This is what the Sefer Boyer is doing. And then a similar teaching, but a little bit different, is also with regards, I mean, the teachings are full of this. These are, the Sefer Bar is full of these, and we're not going to go through every single piece, obviously. But just to give you a sampling of what these ideas represent, the another idea, one of the big ideas, which you mentioned before, the Sefer Bar brings down, is the idea of reincarnation, Gilgulim. So Gilgulim, the basic construct of Gilgulim, now we'll read a little inside what he says, but the basic concept of Gilgulim is also a form of reconciliation, because there's a reconciliation on a very high abstract level. To understand this, how the reconciliation is like Yashul Koy Shachsisir, how it exists within the cosmic oneness of Hashem. There's a type of reconciliation that occurs between interpersonal, between man and man, which is the Ava and the Shalom and the Emes, the truth and the peace and love that exists between man. And then there's a certain type of harmony or synthesis that a person has to do with his own self or his own understanding himself. And what the Sefer HaBoyer is going to explain, and this eventually becomes very popular through the writings of the Ramban and Iyov and other places, where the Ramban talks about this idea of Gilgulim. But this is not the last revealing of what Gilgulim are. The full revealing, at least presently, is in the teachings of Dari, Char Gilgulim, Sefer Gilgulim, where these things are much more in great detail. But the basic concept that the idea of Gilgulim is answering, certainly from the perspective of the early Rishonim that are writing about this, from the perspective of the Ramban and the Sefer HaBoyer, is the question of how is it possible for to be a tzaddik v'ra'alai? Why do we see that the good? I mean, this is a big question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked. According to Gemara, like why do good people suffer? Why do the good die young? Like why do good people suffer, and why do we see that that the ways of the wicked are sometimes prosperous? So there seems to be a certain type of dichotomy or separation or lack of synthesis between a person's certain life that they're living and the projection that they're projecting outwards. And you would think that that you receive the reward, and therefore this should be the effect of your certain actions. But it seems that you do a certain thing and the effect are not consistent with your actions. You know, you're trying to be a very good person. You're putting out good qualities into this world. You're creating positive malach, positive angels, and prakrit echad. You're creating, you're doing these positive things, and which should reverberate into a positive response. And sometimes it doesn't work that way. You do something, and things don't work that way. So this is the concept of Gilgulim, of reincarnation, will address this lack of consistency or synthesis that a person experiences in life. Because what it's going to say is that your life is actually much broader than what you think. You think that your life consists of, you know, the 70, 80, 120 years that you live presently within your body, but the truth is that there's a much larger unfolding that's occurring in your soul, and things are actually unfolding throughout many, many lives. And every lifetime, other things you're picking up from things that exist within your previous lives. So this is one of the big chiddushim of the Sefer HaBoyer. About reincarnation, which again becomes very popular in that period of time. But for example, let's say if you look in Sefer Yetzirah, you don't have any of this conversation. There's no mystical conversation. In fact, Reb Sadia Gaon, who writes a commentary on Sefer Yetzirah, denies the fact that there's a Gilgulim. Writes in one of the days that there is no Gilgulim. Whatever, that's another conversation. But this conversation, the Sefer HaBoyer, becomes much more elaborate in Sefer HaZohar, like you have in the Parshas Mishpatim, which is the idea of Gilgulim. Not too much, but this is the conversation becomes much larger. So let's read a little bit what it says in Sefer HaZohar in terms of Gilgulim, in terms of reincarnation. So the pasuk says, "My doy v'doy, doy hoylich v'doy ba." What does it mean that a generation comes and a generation goes? Which is a verse in Kohelis. The simple meaning of generation goes generation. The hoylach v'dorban means that a person actually, this is the Gemara Chagig of the Fei, the Gemara talks about that it means that a person has to finish their life. You have to finish your completion in this world, and then the next generation arises. But here the Sefer HaBoyer says, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, And this is also interesting that the Sefer Bar uses Rabbi Akiva. Again, we're who exactly wrote the Sefer Bar, we're not so interested in terms of like its historical development, but Rabbi Akiva definitely is speaking these words. Rabbi Akiva, the concept of Rabbi Akiva, or Akiva himself is speaking these words, because Rabbi Akiva is a person that went through in his own lifetime many gulgulim. He actually went through many different transformations in his life. He's a person that started off as a Maaretz. The Gemara says that if I have a Talmud Chacham, I'm written like a Chabar. You know, he was a very intense Maaretz, like, and very proud of it. And then he becomes the greatest scholar. Rabbi Akiva was a person that was dirt poor, tremendously poor, and then he became very wealthy. So Rabbi Akiva is a person that actually went through many gulgulim in his own personal life. In fact, he's a Ben Gerim. He's a son of converts, so that in itself is a type of gulgul. He went through in the previous life, or in his genetics, he was part of another people and became part of Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Akiva says, Dor ba shekvar ba, that this refers to a generation that comes that already came before. That means that the concept of what the Pasuk says, Dor ha'lecha dor ba, means that the generation that we have now, or the life that we're living now, that the unfolding that's occurring in this lifetime, is actually an unfolding that already happened. So there's like a certain sense of there's a linear time. Like, I live from this point of time, and then I pass on after this prayer time. But then there's a higher gilgul, there's a higher turning, a higher cyclical nature of this, which is this, I'm just passing through one of my lives that went through many different times. And this is also a theme that the Sefer Yetzirah brings up, that Sefer HaBor brings up, which also becomes popular in medieval times, with the whole idea of the Shmittas and the Yoglis, which is that time is cyclical, that we're going through different processes of creation. That even in the six, seven days of creation, which the Sefer HaBor talks a lot about, they also represent different time processes. So the first day is the first Shmittah, that itself is 7,000 years. This is you find again, very clearly in the writings of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yaakov, the Meir Sinaim, which is the Talmud of the Ramban, who is a great scholar, a great Talmud of the Sefer HaBor. So this is the idea of Dor ha'lecha dor ba. And then the Boyer actually gives a mashal. Again, so this gives a metaphor. Bringing a mashal is again similar to what the Sefer Hazoyer will be, because Sefer Hazoyer is all about a big story. I mean, we have to uncode the story, but here in the we're in the Sefer Hazoyer, in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Zohar actually says the mashal as the story itself. It doesn't say mashal ma'adav adoyim. This is like the mashal of this. So let's just say like this: there's this prose, which is like more the Sefer Yetzirah, and then this poetry was more like Sefer Hazoyer. Because it talks very, it's Doyish and the Pasuk, and then it's Mashal Ma'adav Adoyim. This is like similar to a metaphor, and it gives us the metaphor. So it's telling you actually that this is actually is a Mashal, where the Zohar doesn't tell you that it's a Mashal. The Mashal, you have to figure out that it's a Mashal, that it's just a metaphor. You have to understand it's Nimshal. So the Mashal that he brings, the metaphor that he brings, is of a king that he had certain servants, and he dressed them in the most beautiful linen garments, and they destroy the garments, and they completely were not interested in these garments, and they left them alone. So what the king does is he takes these garments, and he washes these garments, and he prepares them, and he buys new servants, and he dresses them with these new garments, but he's not yet sure if these servants will utilize these garments in a correct way. And because these are garments that are already once in this world, and he's not sure of love him, love him. And therefore he gives them these other garments. So there's like a transference of garments that's moving from one servant to the next. And there's an in-between process where these garments are cleansed, and after they're cleansed, they're returned to the second people, and he's unsure. So these are garments in Chazal, and later in Zohar, clearly the mitzvahs are called garments, are called levushim. So they, we're not making a distinction between the soul and the body. We're not defining it so clearly this way. We're saying that there's a person that has a purpose in this world, and the purpose of this world for the servant is to wear the royal garments. The garments are Hashem's garments. These are the infinite garments, are Kadosh Baruch Hu's garments. And the reason why we're brought into this world is to wear Hashem's garments and beautify ourselves with the covenant of the Sefaras to wear Hashem's garments. Like we're reading in the parshas these weeks, is to wear Hashem's garments. What does it mean to wear Hashem's garments? To enclose ourselves with the mitzvahs, with the positive and ma'asim tovim, and the good deeds of the Torah, the ma'asim tovim, which means that we walk and we're dressed in these beautiful garments that we see the presence of Hashem, of the Shekhinah, resting upon us. That's what our tachlis is. But sometimes sometimes a person messes up and dirties these garments. So these garments are like sort of the mitzvahs, but also connected to the soul himself, to the person's soul himself. And the garments are taken away, which means after a person passes on, the garments are taken away, which means the garments, I think what the Sefer Bar is saying is that the garments do not, this person's soul does not enter into a state of Gan Eden. And it needs to go back. It needs to go back into this world another time. It enters into a new person. The person has now the garments that are cleansed from its previous imperfections. Obviously, it has a residue of its previous owner, because that's the effect that it has on the other person. And we have to work on the second life to perfect our own garments, to make sure that we cleanse our own garments. Avol ha'aretz le'olam imedes. But the earth always stands still. That the earth is always in a state of stillness. It's very unclear exactly what the Sefer HaBayir is referring to over here, what it means that, because that's part of the pasuk, that's actually part of the verse. But the Arizal talks of this pasuk, and when he says V'aretz L'Olam Imedes, is that the Aretz refers to Malchus, which is the Shekhinah, or embodied within women. And reincarnation does not apply to women. It's complicated. It's not exactly, you know, a blanket statement, but it means that there's a certain thing that are a consistency, and there are certain things that are in flux. So the malchus of something is always in the state of consistency, and the other parts of the self are in the state of flux. So it's like sort of the feminine within the masculine, or the feminine is the one that comes down for the masculine. But there's something there in our life. Let's translate it a little differently. There's a certain level of a consistent pattern that we're living out that exists within our past life that's consistently in this life. And then there's a certain part of this life that's very different than the other life. Let's say there's a certain quality that we have that is a aretz, which is like the certain way of our being, which is consistent in our past life and the present life. That doesn't change, but our garments change. Our garments is also our machshava divra ma'aser, which is our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Those are actually changing throughout this life. We have different thoughts, different words, and different actions that we have in this life and the other life. Even though there's certain consistency, like the backdrop, so to speak, is the exact same soul that exists within one life and the other life. So this is another teaching that we see in the Sefer HaBayir, where it's again exploring a similar idea, which is the idea of trying to make sense and synthesis of our lives, to say that even though you think things are one way and it appears to be one way, and therefore I don't understand why I'm struggling for one thing that happened, I don't understand why I'm suffering because of certain actions, or why I'm not being repaid in a certain way. You should know that this is part of an unfolding and part of a process that is putting forth. This is the concept of this vest, this garment that's being drawn from one life to the next, is sort of a type of reincarnation where someone messes up, which means that you didn't fulfill its tikkun, and you actually took the garments and you dirtied the garments. And therefore, you need to come back into this world to make sure that the garments are worn in its proper way, to as clear garments, as luminescent garments, as behiros, as garments in covenant of the forest. But if a person already perfected in a past life and achieved their certain tikkun in their past life, that's another question when they have to return into the next life. Will they have to go through a process of reincarnation? So this is, again, is also in the Sefer HaBoyer, to be a little clear, in the earlier Shoinim, the way that before the Arizal talks about this, is that reincarnation comes to perfect something that was done in misdone in a previous life. Something was wrong in a previous life, and therefore you have to correct it, and you have to correct the tikkun. The garments were dirty, and therefore you have to make sure that the garments are clean. In the Arizal, this becomes much more broad, and that's a higher revelation that became revealed in times of the Ari, where even souls that were perfected and did their tikkun in this world, every lifetime, they're perfecting another aspect of themselves. This is Be'erech, what I wanted to say about Sefer HaBoyer and a little bit how Sefer HaBoyer stands in like this crossroads in Jewish history between Sefer Yetzirah, which was not a Kabbalistic book and certainly not popular by the mass, and the Sefer HaZohar, which then becomes the Torah Shebaal Peh of Kabbalah. And Sefer HaBoyer, if you look in Jewish history, that time period, the time period of the Ramban and the students of the Ramban, is the beginning of the explosion of all these ideas in Teres HaSoid that becomes revealed. And this is primarily based on the Sefer HaZohar, on the Sefer HaBoyer, which allows itself, just also because of its imagery and its like its poetic nature and not its prose, that this is the way it is, but it opens itself up to the place of a mashal. And because it opens itself to the place of a mashal, it becomes also the possibility of people interpreting and understanding and drawing out and bringing forth and the unfinished statements to finish these statements and unresolved ideas that the Sefer HaBoyer is bringing out to being revealed and revealed and revealed in greater depth and a greater unity throughout periods of time until the Sefer HaZohar and then eventually the teaching of Ari and teaching of Chassidus until our present moment. So Shukayach.
Thank you, Rabbi Dovber. Do you have a few minutes for some questions?
Absolutely.